why do you need your friend around?
I said,
if you want to live this life, you better lose that why.
The Fowl Life on the Outdoor Channel. Joe Clayfish was raised in the Shaw.
A couple extra pounds never really hurt. Cause a country boy is all I'll ever be.
Good evening, Wisconsin. You're listening to 101 WAUK 540 AM, The Shaw. This is Joel Clayfish, and you're listening to Raised in the Shaw with me, Joel Clayfish. We have an awesome show for you tonight. And you know what's really awesome about today is that we're sitting here at 7 o'clock in the p.m. and you can still see outside. Now, I know there's some efforts around the country to extend daylight savings time year-round. I don't know how I feel about that because I don't know if I love the idea of kids standing in the dark for the bus in the morning. But I will tell you, I do love the idea of being able to sleep in an extra hour before you have to get to the turkey blind. Because goodness knows, when you are waterfowl hunting or turkey hunting or deer hunting for that matter, you've got to be up at the crack of dawn is not the correct term. You have to be up a solid 2 hours before the crack of dawn to get your decoys set up and everything set before those turkeys even start to wake up. So I don't know. I'm kind of interested to know some opinions on that. You know, and nobody has trouble contacting me. I get probably, I'd say, 20 to 50 contacts a day through Facebook Messenger, through text, through other means of people asking me questions about the outdoors. And one of the beautiful things about having this show, Raised in the Shaw with Joel Clayfish, is that we talk hunting, we talk fishing, we talk accessibility issues for folks with disabilities, how they can get into the woods and participate in some of the most fantastic outdoor sports of any state in the country. We are surrounded by Great Lakes, the Mississippi River, and have more inland lakes per capita than any state in the country. Don't forget that. That's why Wisconsin really is a hidden gem when it comes to living and participating in the outdoors. But the point I'm trying to make is that so many folks come to me and ask me questions. And the beauty of this show is having experts on a weekly basis. You know, we work with the folks from the Fowl Life on the Outdoor Channel. They know just about all there is to know about waterfowl. We work with folks who are involved in government. We've got state legislators on. We have members of next week we're going to have the Conservation Congress folks on with us, Rob Bowman. That's going to be a fantastic show. They tell you and explain to you how you can participate in the process as an average citizen, and your opinion matters and it counts. So one of the neat things about the show is that I get to have a lot of those answers from experts, because believe me when I tell you, the more you learn about the outdoors and how to utilize it and how to cook from it, the more you learn you need to learn. So everything you do when it comes to setting up decoys, when it comes to sneaking in a field, when it comes to scouting, asking permission, cooking, you are always at the tip of the iceberg because there's somebody else who's done it in a different way. And when I first started hunting, I did not have a mentor. So I hunted outside the box. The very first time I ever waterfowl hunted in my life, I had these 12 silhouettes I put in a circle around me in the middle of the field and sat with a ghillie suit in the middle of a cornfield. Well, it took me 3 or 4 days of sitting in that same place before finally one goose was dumb enough to fly into the circle and I killed it, and I was hooked, and I was hooked from there. And that is one of the reasons waterfowl hunting is so important to me. Now, someone who's not only a mentor to me, but kind of a superhero in waterfowl hunting. And he's going to get on and probably say some things about me bragging about him too much, because he probably thinks he doesn't deserve it. But this is a guy who has waterfowl hunted for nearly 35 years already. And he's not even that old, which means he started very, very young. He's been incredibly involved in waterfowl throughout the state, in the Horicon Marsh area, in the Wildlife Federation, and determining bag limits and helping folks get into the outdoors with mentored hunting, with programs for youth and new hunters. And he's just an all-around good guy. We're probably not going to get into political philosophies because his and I may differ on some areas. But one area I know for sure they're definitely the same is waterfowl. And I'm going to introduce him with one of the things that I think is most impressive, the 1997 Wisconsin Duck Calling Champion, Mark Kakich, joins us in the studio today. Mark, you've been a friend for a long time. You teach me a lot about waterfowl. Great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Well, thanks a lot, Joel. I appreciate it. Checks in the mail.
He says checks in the mail, but the reality of it is, if you get the opportunity, and I have, to hunt the Horicon Marsh, and I've hunted the Horicon Marsh with this guy, it is an experience like very little. The Horicon Marsh is like a labyrinth.
It is. It's a fantastic place. It's not just for hunters. Most people don't realize that the Federal Refuge and the Horicon Marsh are unique because almost 99% of the funding comes from duck stamp dollars. So we run into a lot of times where...
What does that mean? Explain that to somebody who doesn't know what a duck stamp dollar is.
So when you buy a duck stamp, the vast majority of that duck stamp goes into conservation and protecting habitat, increasing easements. It comes back to the hunter. So when I do a seminar, maybe at a bird club or a non-hunting group per se, one of the things I like to show them is, listen, you're enjoying a lot of the great outdoors because hunting, fishing, and trapping paid for it. A lot of people think that they just pay a tax, you know, they pay their state income tax, they pay their federal income tax, and they think that money then comes back and turns around, and that makes the wonderful wildlife places that Wisconsin has to offer, the great bounty of taking a hike in the Shawamigan or taking a kayak on, you know, the Wisconsin River or, you know, in Horicon Marsh, because what birder in Wisconsin really hasn't been to the Mississippi River, the Horicon Marsh, and some of the great other, you know, birding locations in the state, even the shores of Lake Michigan, when it comes to water clarity, all these things, hunting pays for a significant amount, and many people don't realize that.
I don't think they do. In Wisconsin, you know, when government has this big budget, a lot of people don't realize segregated funding is funding that is from a source to be used specifically on a specific source. And I don't think people realize when they're critical of hunting, and we can get into all the philosophies of hunting and how it's kind of nice where the right is meeting the left now on this organic food source. Mm-hmm. But I think people don't realize hunters spend a great deal of their money in every bullet they buy, in every shotgun shell they buy, every gun they buy, every stamp they buy to be able to hunt waterfowl. This money goes back into the resource, into conservation. We would not have the populations of bag limits we have if it weren't for them, would we?
Not even close. In here in Wisconsin, the Department of Natural Resources, you know, people should really take a look at what GRP money is to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and how much the DNR actually gets from GRP money or tax-based funds. And as an what I would consider an ex-politician, you know that better than most. And the Department of Natural Resources in this state, for better or for worse, people don't understand, you know, their back is up against the wall, and they have to manage a lot of property with a budget that is continually shrinking along with a workforce. And I think, you know, hunting, fishing, and sportsman's dollars really make up the deficit. And thank God for Pittman Robinson right now, because our department, you know, is definitely dependent on it.
Well, let's move to a little bit of a tough topic then. You brought up, you know, some of the difficulties in funding sources and making sure you have conservation wardens out, you know, in the field. And I want to be clear, personally, conservation wardens are a necessity in the field. They're the locks keep honest people honest enforcement branch. But I have to be honest with you, particularly when it comes to waterfowl. A lot of waterfowl hunters are frustrated, and a lot of them might say, you know what, good, I'm glad there aren't more wardens coming in the field. There should be fewer of them. Every time a warden comes in the field, he's looking for a reason to give me a ticket. Now, I don't think that's true. I don't think it's true with all the wardens. I think sometimes. But the rules that govern waterfowl, particularly in Wisconsin, are so intricate, bird identification, that I really think, you know, Todd Schaller and I are good friends, and we've talked extensively about this, and I think he is the quintessential perfect example of the of a great person to be a conservation warden. Give when there's room to give, and buckle down when somebody is blatantly abusing the system. But part of the problem, I think, is that there is still a disconnect that needs to be worked on between law enforcement and the hunters in the field. Because if a hunter in the field feels that the enforcement branch is only adversarial, they're going to have a negative attitude. Now, I don't think they are only adversarial, but I think there's a balance there, and I think there's education on both sides that could still happen.
So I can tell you, you know, I spend most of my time in northern Waukesha and Dodge County hunting. And, you know, growing up in Milwaukee and spending almost 30 years as a hunter safety instructor, I grew up in and around wildlife law enforcement. And I can tell you that there is a shift in what I would say is the general perception from law enforcement to the general public. And I think the good thing is we are now in a transition period where we are getting a lot of younger wardens. A lot of wardens are retiring, you know, just because of the age. And in Dodge County especially, we have two younger wardens. And one of them is probably, I want to say, you know, pound for pound, I don't want to give him a big head and I won't mention his name, but in all the years in conservation work, he's by far heads and tails ahead of the pack. And the federal game wardens that work in Dodge and Fond du Lac over the last, you know, 10 to 15 years as well, they are what I would consider people game wardens, where they can communicate with the public and educate. And, you know, dealing with game wardens from around the country, I can tell anybody, whether you believe it or not, that not only are game wardens in Wisconsin on average, I wouldn't say the fairest, but they listen very well, you know.
Yeah, and I can hear bumper music, but before we go, I do want to say, I am going to name names. I'm going to say, if I had a question in the field, I called Mitch Grenier, I called Doug Zion, I called Todd Schaller, and I got answers that I needed. And you know what you do when you call them with a question? You establish a personal rapport with that person. And humanity teaches us that you have a relationship with somebody, you're going to have more of an understanding of them and an understanding of what they're trying to do. So when we go to the break here, I want to leave you with the fact that if you do have a question, don't be afraid to call. They're not going to jump down your throat when you do call and ask that question. And they're usually going to have an answer that's most likely going to be to your benefit as you're in the field. You're listening to Raised in the Shaw with me, Joel Clayfish. We got our guest, Mark Kakich. We'll be back right after this break.
I love my country. I love my gun.